second, amen. I'm glad he sung that second. I was just thinking, he needs to sing that second one again, so I guess God threw a frog in his throat, but that old devil, he's a liar. He'll get up there and start whispering things in your mind, in your head, and get you all bent out of shape. But I'm glad that God told Moses there was a place. There's a cleft in that rock. We can get in there and he'll put his hand over us and protect us. There's a wing that we can crawl up under and get close to the Lord. Amen. But listen, you got to be willing to go. He'll cry out. He'll raise his arms up and give you a place to come. But if you don't want to come, you don't have to. But I like to get close. Amen. It bothers me when I don't hear from him. It bothers me when I don't feel him. And I hope again tonight you just come, just ring yourself out tonight and let God just fill you back up this evening. And God's still at work. We're not out of this thing yet. The Word of God is still rich and full and powerful. And the Holy Ghost is still in our midst and working in our hearts. And he just wants some willing vessels to die to ourselves and say, Lord, I'm just going to go with you. And that's what we're looking for. It is a joy to have Preacher Maynard this evening. Brother, you come preach to our hearts this evening.
If the Lord will help me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 tonight. Let's find our places there. Good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate all of you being here. And my wife is feeling very youthful tonight, sitting with the young people. I want you to know. I tell you, if she was a preaching, I wouldn't be here, amen. I was going to say, I'd be sitting there. But it's been a good day today. Any day above ground's a good day. The Lord certainly is faithful to us. And Miss Maynard had really was not planning on being here tonight because she was going to play grandma today and keep our grandson. But he got sick, and so he wasn't able to have grandma today. He had mama. And that's a good thing, too. But she's with us tonight. She's happy in Jesus. She's full tonight. She's had food today. She's happy, happy, happy. Amen. I better start preaching. Say amen, Brita. I'll be in the trunk going home tonight. We don't want that. Well, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Living for Him, laboring for Him as we're looking for His return. The Lord's give us another day today of opportunity to serve Him. Chapter 1 has to do with the subject of teamwork. Chapter 2 has to do with the subject of tenderness. It's already been said tonight by the pastor. I'm glad he's listening, amen. And the rest of you too. You folks are very easy to preach to. Chapter 3 tonight is a chapter I'm sure that we would wish that we could skip, but it's a chapter that has to do with the midst of trials. You're either in one, just come out of one, or headed for one. I want us to understand tonight that trials is a part of the age that we're living in. It's always been, but when we study about the second coming of Christ, of course, tying this in with the book of the Revelation, there's no doubt we're living in that Laodicean church age. That means, ladies and gentlemen, as born again children of God that desire to live a life that's pleasing in God's sight, we are not the majority, we are the minority. And it's been said so many times, if you and I decide to sell out to God, just give God a piece of paper, sign our name, and let Him fill in the rest. There will be trials. There will be a devil that opposes us. There will be storms of correction. There will be storms of perfection. But these trials go further than a storm. I want us to notice something tonight, that in these trials, by the way of a little introduction of what we've seen so far, first of all, in these trials, they became followers in much affliction. Chapter number 1, verse number 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Not only do they become followers in much affliction, but number two, they are followers in ministry afflictions. Chapter 2, verse 2. Boy, this verse still speaks to my heart even after yesterday. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. One commentary, as I look back through it later, said we were treated like the scum, or they were treated like the scum of this earth. Christ was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And if they crucified Him, and many were martyred for their belief in the early church, and still in other countries, Eastern Bloc countries, people are martyred for the cause of Christ, we might as well expect trials to come our way. Not only followers in much affliction and followers in ministry affliction, but tonight we're going to study in verses 3 and 4 in chapter 3, they were followers in moveless afflictions. And I'll go ahead and read it. We'll look at it again a little later. Verse 3 of chapter 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Dr. B.R. Lakin said one time when Paul went to town somewhere, he wasn't looking for the super 8, he's looking for where the jail was. Because he knew it wouldn't be long he would be there. Verse 4, for verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. I want us to remember, once again, that this epistle and the things that are being said about the coming of Christ point us to that time where Jesus comes again, that when we put this together with the book of the Revelation, again, it's the Laodicean church age. A coldness, an indifference, where Jesus is standing at the door and knocking, wishing that he could get in. I'm glad to be in a place tonight and in other places where you feel the warmth of the Spirit of God and you sense His presence. And I want to say this tonight, church, and I believe this, the farther we go in this thing before Jesus comes, churches like this is going to become more and more a minority. Please don't change your music. Please don't go into that contemporary movement. Please don't change Bibles. If you ever do, I ain't coming back. If you change the music, I ain't coming back either. I know my crowd. There are reasons that we stand for the old time way. There are reasons that we still believe in the King James Bible. Not on this past trip, but our second trip to the Holy Land. I asked the tour guide, I said, how come you read out of the King James Bible? And this man was a born-again believer, professor of the Hebrew University. He said, why would any stupid American use anything else? I say, hey man! Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We don't need music to move the body. We need music that'll move the heart. So we need to be moveless. Followers in much affliction, ministry affliction, but also in moveness affliction. They're willing to take a stand that they know that they were appointed to these things and now that they're facing them, and we need to be like-minded. Now, because of trials, in chapter 3, verse number 1, Paul talks about being solitude because of the trials. Solitude. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. I My mind was reminded of that some years ago, not because of my case of persecution. I've taken two trips to South Africa. And the last trip I took over there, the missionary dropped the bombshell on me that he was beginning furlough. I was to be there 10 days and he left me after 6 by myself in South Africa. I was there in an orphanage, a gated orphanage with wire and everything because it was such a volatile area. But those days were lonely days. Solitude. And I thought about two things. First of all, I can't hardly wait to get home and see my wife. Because pillows do not hug back. The only friend I had was a stinking monkey trying to get in my room and get into my fruit bowl. Amen. But I thought about something else. I thought about those of the early church that would separate themselves, become solitude because of the persecution, and many times put and placed into solitude places so that way they would not voice the gospel to anybody. I not only see solitude because of trials, but I see, praise God, a soldier because of the trials. A soldier's got to be able and is trained to be able to face anything on the battlefield that could come their way. When I pastored in Louisville, there was a man in our church that was a tank commander under George Patton in World War II. Spent time in a concentration camp before the war was over. Was trained in how it was to be solitude and how it was to suffer through those days of being solitude. See, notice in the verse right here, he uses the word forbear. And that word forbear means this, and we need this to endure patiently. Enduring hardness, as I've already quoted, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not know what we might have to face in this life. You say all of that's overseas. It could be right across the street. He not only was solitude because of the trials, but he was a soldier sent because of the trials. Notice that he has sent Timotheus. His name means, we looked at it the other service, his name means dear to God. When Paul is in prison, Timothy comes his way. Anybody that will fellowship with us to help us in the journey is dear to our hearts and is dear to God. He's called a brother. And the greatest fellowship any of us can have in the midst of a trial is a brother or a sister in Christ. I'm going to park on this for a little bit. When we're going through our worst days, and I sure am glad we can pray. I'm glad we can perceive and claim the promises of the Word of God. And that's one reason it's so important that we memorize Scriptures. Because we could go through things and a Bible might not be handy. But how good that it is to have somebody come by that's dear. Is of like faith and like practice and desires to go in the same direction. A brother in Christ and someone that's got a humble spirit because he's called here a minister of God. Now God calls men to preach. God calls men to be deacons. And by definition, these men are known as ministers. So what are we? We're attendants. We're waiters. We're servants. The people that the Lord uses the most are those that are like our wonderful Savior, that was willing to gird Himself with a towel and wash the disciples' feet. I'm not trying to get on any issues because it's not necessary, but one thing I really appreciated being in the service the other night at First Baptist in Hammond, Indiana, is how Pastor Wilkinson is out in the vestibule after shaking everybody's hand, wanting to get to know everybody, be a blessing. What blessed me is when my wife's father passed away and Nathan and his family was getting ready to leave. Dr. Wilkinson had found out about the death of Nathan's family and made time to go by and see our son in a membership of thousands of people and go by and hug his neck and have prayer with him. You see, this spirit is for the pastor, it's for the teacher, it's for the deacon. It's for their wives, it's for the deaconess, it's the deacon's wife. It has to do with the labor, the co-labor in the church. May God give us all a servant's heart. Fellow labor. I think the key of that word is not the phraseology of being a laborer, but being a fellow laborer. It kind of goes back to the teamwork yesterday, doesn't it? The football team all knowing what they do to perform the play, the basketball team, the baseball team, and the racing ones, the ones that are in the pit area that we illustrated yesterday, won't do that again, but just working together, ministering, and fellow neighboring together. Seeing someone having a tough time, just all of a sudden wanting to come along and just help a little bit. Some time ago, our little grandson just couldn't get a little car put together like he wanted. He ain't but two. Couldn't get it together like he wanted it to. I said, can Papaw have it? He brought it over and handed all the pieces to me. Breed, I got it all together. And he got it and rolled it around the floor and everything a little bit. And I thought, God wants us all to be that way. Putting that little thing together probably didn't mean a whole lot to nobody else but him. But why don't we develop the spirit that we not only want to be laborers in front of the crowd, we want to be a laborer to every individual. It's Timotheus here. He's a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. He's got the right ministry. He's got the right message. But notice how God uses him to establish you. That's a good word. It means to help you to be as strong as concrete. Now, if there's anybody in the building tonight that never gets weak, God will forgive you for lying. Because there's times in my life, Pastor, I feel strong in the Lord. And there's times also I don't feel like I can make another step. My wife and I both, I mean, Brother Hildebrand knows what it is to travel miles like we do and to travel across this country. It's weary on the body. It's weary on the mind. And sometimes I just think, oh my soul, Lord, I just feel like I can't go another step. Then all of a sudden, I know there's a little sweet lady that's on the second pew tonight, all the way to the left over there. As Brother Hildebrand would say about his wife, the platinum blonde. And And sitting there, I know, I'm out the pulpit and I'll look at her and she'll do this. You know what happens? I get strength from the Lord. I'm not going to ask you tonight. But I wonder how many of you take time to pray for your preacher every day. And take time to pray for his helpmeet. And to pray for the whole family, yes. Sometimes God's men come to the pulpit and they don't feel like it. Duh. Yeah. We're just as human as the rest of you. You see, Paul's talking about Timothy here. That in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the tough times, in going through the things that they're having to forbear, all of a sudden God sends somebody by to help them in the journey. Not only to establish, but also to comfort. Someone that has been called near to be strong, to help be stronger as that one in that period of time. So we see Paul talking about being solitude and talking about a soldier. But then he begins to talk about to the church of being steadfast in their trials. Now, folks, we need this tonight. We need this tonight. We need help from the Lord. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with the Lord. That without God's help, as Grandma used to say, we're as weak as water. He's talking about the afflictions again. Talks about Timotheus coming by their way for the reasoning, verse 3 and 4. That no man should be moved. That's the steadfastness. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. A steadfastness in our trials. In verse number 3, the Bible uses the word moved. That means we're not shaken. That doesn't mean all of a sudden that we're surprised by it. It just means it's come. We take a deep breath and we stand strong for the Lord. Afflictions. The pressures of being faithful to God. The anguishes that we have by being faithful to the Lord. The burdens that we bear as we're endeavoring to be faithful to the Lord. You see, in verse number 3, he talks about the reality of trials. In verse 4, he talks about the rehearsal of trials. Because he says, for verily, when we were with you, we told you. Notice other scriptures just quickly tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2 talks about a great trial of affliction. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says the trial of your faith. 1 Peter 4:12, Peter also speaks of that fiery trial. You know, you get this far with it tonight, you think, well, woe is me, just hang on. There's the reality of trials. There's the rehearse of trials. There is the report of our trials. Look at verse 5 and 6. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren. Woo! We were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Paul's writing to them to live for him and labor for him in the midst of their trials. But do you see what's happening? By Thessalonica standing true, and by Timothy standing true, they're helping each other. My wife and I have known people that have endured hardness with severe sicknesses. And then God give them grace to endure it to the other side where their health was restored. And see God get the glory out of it by when others go through the same thing that they have. They became that paracletos, that comforter, to try to help them when they were going through the same thing. I wouldn't wish it on anybody to have a prodigal. But it's amazing. You can ask Sister Maynard. Of across this country that God allows us to churches to go to. And all of a sudden a lady will come to my wife and pour her heart out because of a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter or a grandchild or somebody and say, I don't know why I'm telling you all of this. And Miss Maynard will put their arm around him and say, we had a prodigal. We had a son that was a drug addict. And the same God. Woohoo! The same God that helped us and gave us grace and brought deliverance in His life is the same God. It's the same God, sister, that can help you too. That's everything that's being said about the trials right here. Verse number 6 again gives us the remedy of the trials. What is that remedy? But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, not the mully grubs. God help us to quit being so negative all the time. Well, we got 4 amens and the rest of you evidently are negative all the time. Brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you once again. That's a remedy. He said, I've heard of your faith, your assurances, your reliance upon God. I heard of your charity, your benevolence, your affection, your acts of love feast toward one another. Their oneness, that's the same word as derived the word for Holy Spirit, one sent alongside to help. Now watch this. I want you to notice the strength of others in the midst of our trials. Verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. There's the strength of others in their trials. There is this, our steadfastness in the Lord in the midst of our trials. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You might be up next to the Red Sea and don't know which way to go. Oh, just stand still and wait on the Lord. Just trust Him. You know, it's a happy day in all of our lives when we learn that the Lord works on His timing. And His timing is always the best timing. Oh yeah, not my time clock, but God's time clock. Notice also the supplications of thanksgiving after their trials. In verse number 9, for what thanks can we render to God? Again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Verse 10 and 11, notice the supplications of wanting to help each other in the midst of their trials. Supplications, night and day. I wish we'd get back to that. Night and day praying exceedingly. Now I want to ask you a question. How many believe tonight that the Bible is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God? Amen. Notice every word in that verse. Night and day praying exceedingly. That's not real cream praying. That we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Here is Paul writing to this church and still wanting to be a help. And I wish we all would develop that spirit too in the midst of people facing trials, that we could just do all that we can just to try to help somebody. I don't say this in a personal, selfish way, but ladies and gentlemen, if I can't help you this week, get somebody else in this pulpit that can. But I want to help you. I want to be a blessing to you. And that ought to be the attitude of all of us. Make me a blessing to someone. Aren't you glad I don't sing, brother? Not for my sake, but Jesus alone. When you've granted request, oh Lord, grant me this one. Make me a blessing to someone. Verse 11, Paul talks to them of having an open door to visit. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. I want to see you. I want to hug you in right fashion. I want to cry with you. I want to hold you. I want to pray with you. I want to hold you up to the Lord. I want to give you strength to make another step. You're going through a fiery trial. You're not having good days. I don't want to come to you to criticize you. I don't want to come to you to run you down. I don't want to come to you to sound like I'm holier than thou. And you know, like some I've met, well, you know, when churches go through problems, well, I knew it was going to happen. Or like when a mom and daddy does have a prodigal. I'm not surprised. You know, they act one way at church, but you know, I knew. Yeah, we've had that happen. And caught them running my wife down in a Sunday school room on Sunday morning. Open door to visit. But he also not only talks about an open door, but he also talks about an open heart. That they love one another, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. And then the chapter closes by an obedient life of holiness, even to the end. Open door. open heart, obedient life. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. The Bible speaks about holiness. Unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Tonight's chapter has to do with trials. Tomorrow night's chapter has to do with temptations. Just a moment, the pastor will come with the invitation. If you're going through something tonight, you have a friend, and I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's too big for me. Bring it to Him tonight. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Going through a trial tonight. Get around this altar. Maybe things are well with you, but maybe you know somebody. Just know of anybody. The best thing you can do tonight for somebody that's going up the rough side of the mountain is get on that altar and call their name before God. As we labor for Him and live for Him, we've got to be able to endure the trials. Let's stand together tonight, if you will, please. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, our brother tonight and sisters coming, Father, during this invitation tonight, do a work tonight that only heaven can get credit for. Lord, You know our hearts tonight. Lord, work as only You can work. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's never been saved, my God, tonight, please, please don't let them leave the property without You in their heart. We pray these things tonight in Jesus' name.